Will you please open your Bibles in Exodus chapter 11? This is the assigned chapter that was given to me. So let us read, well, I will read the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask, every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor, for silver and gold jewelry." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, you and all the people who follow you.' And after that, I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word, for it is truth, because you are true. I ask now, Father, that you will speak through me, that it will not be my eloquence, it will not be my studies, but it will be your Holy Spirit and you alone who will speak the truth that we all need to hear from you. Speak, O Lord, for your servants, we are here listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the story of Moses and of the Israelites in Egypt is probably one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible. People have made movies about this story. We have seen the Ten Commandments. If you're a little bit old, if you're a kid, you probably don't even know this exists. But probably the Prince of Egypt is more recent. So yes, it is one of the most famous stories. Nevertheless, many times we can miss the central point of this story. We get so amazed by all these things that definitely we should get amazed by, like the Red Sea opened or the plagues or all of these wonderful things that happened. But many times we miss the central. What is the central point of this narrative, of this story? So yes, it is true that Moses has a very important role as a mediator between God and the people. But the story is not even about Moses. It is not even about Israel, the Israelites. But it is primarily about God and who he is. In fact, this story, it is written so that we can come and read and know more about who God is. Now, I read just chapter 11, but if we want to understand chapter 11, we need to go back a little bit. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, I'm going to read it, and it will give us a context of why this is happening. So chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go in to Pharaoh, For I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So the point of all of this is so that Israel and Egypt, they may know that I am the Lord. That the Lord is the Lord, the only God, the sovereign Lord above all creation. This is the central point of why did God send the plagues, why did God deliver the Israelites. So that we may know that He is the Lord. Coming back to this should put us in perspective. And when we read this passage, then when we read it through the lens of this, we can have a better understanding of the things that this narrative is saying. So when we come to Exodus 11 again, it says, "The Lord said to Moses," verse 1, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here." So God is telling Moses what is about to happen. He said, afterward, Pharaoh will let you go. What does that tell us about God? That He's sovereign. Only a God that is sovereign can dare to say, this will happen. You go and do that because this is going to happen. Only a God that is truly in control above the creation can say that. So that's the very first aspect that this is letting us know, that God Himself is sovereign. Verse 2 says, "Speak now in the hearing of the people, that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold jewelry." Verse 3. "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." Now I love this this verse 3. "The Lord gave favor before the Egyptians." What does this remind us to? This reminds us to Joseph. Do you remember that Joseph, in Genesis 39, when he is at the jail, it says that the Lord gave him favor. First, the Lord gave favor to Joseph before Potiphar, and then at the jail. So we see that the Lord gives favor from the beginning, when Joseph came to Egypt, until the end, when the Israelites are about to leave Egypt. So we see this overarching sovereignty of God in the fact that He is giving favor to the Israelites now, but He did so when they first arrived, before they arrived, when Joseph, the first Hebrew who was in Egypt, arrived. So we see again this care of God for His people, this sovereign care of Him that He is declaring, "For I will give them favor before Egypt." And in a way, this resembles, "I have already given favor when I gave it to Joseph." When we come to verse 4, it says, "So Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill." Now this is a very interesting verse, because God, what He is doing here, when God says, when Moses is telling Pharaoh that the Lord has said that every firstborn will die, from the son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the slave who works behind the handmill, what is God doing there? What He's doing there, He's saying to Pharaoh, "You, before my eyes, you are no God at all. You are no different than the slave." And this, in the Egyptian culture, Pharaoh himself, he would believe he was a god. He really thought he was a god, and the people would think he was a god. But God is saying, no, you're in the same level as the servant, as the slave. Why? Because you are no god at all. I am the Lord. We come back to the beginning of why He's doing all of this. When He's saying, from the son of Pharaoh will die, to the slave will die. You are both humans to me. You are both creatures. You are no God at all. Pharaoh, you are no God. I am the Lord. When we come to verse 6, "There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been nor ever will be again." Great cry like has never been. At the beginning of Exodus in chapter 1, it tells us the story that the Egyptians killed the Hebrew babies and they threw them to the Nile. We may assume rightfully that there was a cry when that happened. And now the Lord is saying, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been. So what you did to my people, I will do to your people in a way that is more harshly than what you could imagine. For it has never been that way, and it will never be that way either. God is repaying to the Egyptians in a way what they did to the Hebrews. Verse 7, but not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. That you may know that the Lord makes a distinction, not even a dog shall growl. On one side, God is saying, all the firstborns are going to die. But to the Hebrews, not even a dog, not even something as insignificant as a dog, will make a growl against them. Why? Because He's sovereign. He is in control, and He is reminding them, yes, you will die, your firstborn, but to my people, not even a dog shall growl against them. So, again, I am the Lord. I can say these things, something terrible to happen, and yet to them, not even a dog will do anything or growl against them. So that you may know that I make a distinction between you and the Egyptians. Verse 8 says, and all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. Now, all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me. Pharaoh's servants should only bow down to Pharaoh. And now Moses is telling him, on behalf of God, again, you are no God. Your own servants, even your servants, will come and they will bow down to me. And he went out, the remaining of verse 8, and he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Now, this is the first time we have, when we read from the beginning of Exodus, especially when Moses comes back and he's having this interaction with Pharaoh, we have seen this before in the sense of Moses and Aaron talking to Pharaoh. This plague will come. Pharaoh saying, get out, I don't want to see you. But this is the first time that it says that Moses went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. It hasn't said that up to this point. And now Moses, probably he was just very angry about this, to see the stubbornness of Pharaoh. How can you be so stubborn? I mean, this has happened and happened and happened, and now you're still not doing anything. He came out in hot anger. Now, verse 9 is crucial here. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. God, in a way, reminds Moses. Moses is coming out angry, and God reminds Moses that he is in control. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you. God is reminding Moses, hey, I am in control. There is a purpose why all of this is happening. And why is that purpose? That my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Now, God was kind enough to let Moses know the purpose of why things were happening. We should not expect to be treated that way, in the sense that we should not expect to know specifically why all the things that are happening in our lives. Oh, I know why you're... God, thank you for letting me know why this is happening specifically. We should not expect that. Yet the same principle, we should expect to trust in the sovereignty of God. Now, verse 10, Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. Now, this again is just letting us know what happened. But Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. They obeyed what the Lord had told them to do. Moses and Pharaoh and Aaron were not in control. They just did what they needed to do. They obeyed what the Lord had said. So again, yes, the purpose of this chapter, as we see previously in chapter 10, it is so that they may know that the Lord is the Lord and that there is no other beside Him. Now we see God's sovereignty displayed in this, in the fact that He is in control in every aspect of this. Now, again, the Lord was kind to let them know not only what is happening, but why it is happening. But yet the emphasis should not be in, when it comes to us, should not be to know why does God do the things He does, but rather we should focus on relying in the fact that nothing is out of His control. For the same God, the same sovereign God that was with the Hebrews is with us. And this is, as I was reading all of this, I was telling my wife, you know, there is this tendency, at least that I have, of when I read and when I listen to these stories, I tend to see God, oh yeah, that happened years ago. That happened thousands of years ago. But I tend to forget the fact that it is the same God who is sovereign and who displayed all these wonders, who is the same God that is with me. And that I should have comfort in that. That the Lord who delivered the Israelites from the land of Egypt, the sovereign Lord, is the same God that is with you and me now. He has not changed. And somehow I tend to forget this. And we tend to forget this. So now let me make this. Now that I'm saying that the Lord, the same Lord that was with them, is with us now, which is true, let me make a distinction as well. Moses was the mediator between God and the people. But Moses could not be the perfect mediator, and he died eventually. Yet centuries after him, the perfect mediator came. The mediator who would die and would rise again. The mediator who was perfect, who was greater than Moses, for he was before Moses, and he is after Moses. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the perfect mediator. Moses mediated between God and the people, but Moses died. But Christ mediates between God and us. For Christ, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, He is the one true, living, sovereign God. And we need to trust that He has everything under His control. And if you have placed your faith in Christ, then you can be confident not in thinking that things are going to go your way, but in trusting the fact that the one that you have placed your faith in is sovereign. If God is, Romans 8:31b says, if God is for us, who can be against us? This verse should be a reality in our living, in our daily lives. And if you are in Christ, then this can certainly apply to you, resting in your sovereignty, in His sovereignty. But now also let me make another distinction. If you are not in Christ, and if you just come to church, but you don't really have a relationship with Christ, you should have every reason to be afraid. You definitely have every reason to fear, not only to fear what may or could happen, but especially to fear what God revealed that will happen, and that is that He will one day, He will come back to judge the living and the dead. So yes, if you're not in Christ, fear, for He is coming. And yet at the same time, He has invited you to come and run to Him, to come to Him, and don't wait until tomorrow, for you can be certain, just as in the fact that the sovereign Lord delivered the Israelites from Egypt, He will come back and He will judge. And if you are not in Christ, you will be judged in that same way. Now, again, for the rest of us who are in Him, life is difficult, We have problems in our marriages. We have anxiousness at school. There are diseases. Cancer is a reality. And I'm not saying let us falsely think that everything is going to go our way, but let us always remember and be confident that although we may not know what will be the outcome of this, we do know that the Lord is in control, and we should rest on this. As hard as it may be, He is in control. So my hope is that this will be a reminder. The truth that we have seen in this passage may be a reminder that the Lord is sovereign above our lives. If we are in Christ, we can rest in knowing that we are His. So let us rest in Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth, that it is revealed to us. And we thank You because You are sovereign, and You are always in control of every aspect of our lives. We ask that You will forgive us, for many times we are prone to doubt Your sovereignty. We are prone to forget who You are, and when we forget who You are, then we don't even know who we are. We ask, Father, that Your Holy Spirit may continue to do the work that it needs to be done, to get done in our lives, so that we may have more faith to trust, not in knowing or in knowing the specifics of the things that are about to happen in our lives, but just in resting in the fact that You are in control, that You are good, and no matter what happens, we are Yours. Father, we thank You for the opportunity of being gathered here and to listen briefly to Your word. Be with us the rest of this night and help us in our daily lives. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So we may stand. We are about to sing How Great Thou Art, 227.